Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. And coming up, we're concluding a study about why God judged Sodom and Gomorrah. We're in chapter 19 for a message called The Sin of Sodom as we go back to basics.
There is a massive attempt by certain people within our culture to impose the homosexual lifestyle upon the rest of the culture. And there's so much propaganda, and it's just unbelievable. And anybody who speaks out against this lifestyle or you know, would dare to say it's wrong is being labeled as a bigot or a hate monger or something like that. It's quite astounding, really. And, you know, from one perspective, you know, you can kind of understand it out in the world. This is, you know, the world is lost. The world is steeped in deception. And, you know, what do you expect? But it gets really, really difficult when we find that this kind of thinking is also infiltrating the church and trying to be imposed upon Christian people from leaders within the church. So let's look at some of their arguments, these gay apologists, and see if they hold up in light of Scripture. Now, the gay apologist says, Sodom was not destroyed because of homosexuality. What they say is that Sodom was destroyed because of pride, prosperity, and neglect of the poor. And they cite Ezekiel 16:49 as a proof for their argument. Now, let me read to you Ezekiel 16:49. You can turn there if you'd like. It says this, "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." So that is indeed what it says. But if you notice, they stop short, because that's not all it says about Sodom. All you have to do is keep reading, "And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit." Now, of course, there were many things going on in Sodom. It wasn't just the one sin. But that one sin was, you know, sort of the culmination. It's, you know, when sin proliferates, it gets to a point where man in sin is just unleashed and out of control. And the manifestation of that total unleashing of the sin nature is seen in this militant homosexual behavior. And Ezekiel makes it clear that it was because they committed abomination that God judged them. Now, in the law, the book of Leviticus, in two specific places, Leviticus 18:22 and 20:13, the Bible speaks of homosexual behavior as an abomination. So the argument that this had nothing to do with the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, but rather it was because of their pride, their prosperity, their neglect of the poor, that isn't being honest with the text. It's only reading part of the text to, you know, support their position. Now, The New Testament, of course, speaks of Sodom and Gomorrah as well. So we're not left simply with Leviticus, nor with Ezekiel. If we turn to the pages of the New Testament, if we turn to the second epistle of Peter, the second chapter, Peter says this. He says, God, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, especially those who walk in the flesh according to the lust of sexual uncleanness. So Peter, the apostle, he says that Sodom and Gomorrah was judged because of sexual uncleanness. And then Jude in chapter 1, there's only one chapter in Jude, but in verse 7, this is what Jude said. And as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So, you see, the gay apologist pulls out one portion of a passage to support their argument that Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't destroyed because of homosexuality. You've got to look at the entire Bible, and, of course, as you go all the way through the Scripture, it becomes clear, if it wasn't clear already, that that was indeed the reason. Not the only reason, granted, but the primary reason why, because of the sexual immorality, the cities were destroyed. Now, another argument that is put forth by the gay apologist presently is that the Bible does not use the word homosexual or homosexuality. Therefore, it is incorrect to say homosexuality is a sin. Now, it's true, the Bible does not use those words. But even if the Bible does not use those words, it certainly describes and condemns homosexual behavior. Again, the passages in Leviticus. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. That's pretty clear. Romans chapter 1, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful. This is obviously a clear description of homosexual behavior. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it is true, as I said, that the Bible does not use the word homosexual, but it uses words that mean essentially the same thing. The Greek words that are translated in the New King James Version of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the words that are translated homosexual and sodomite, those are the words in English. Both of those words in the original language speak of homosexual behavior. The first word speaks of homosexual activity in the context of male prostitution, would include bisexuality and things like that. The second word, the Greek word literally means, it's two words put together, literally means the male bed. The male bed. Just what Leviticus was talking about. If a man lies with a man like he lies with a woman, and so the Greek word means the male bed. So this idea that the scriptures don't really teach that homosexuality is wrong, again, is incorrect. Now, another argument put forth by the gay apologist is that Jesus never condemned homosexuality. Jesus never condemned homosexuality, therefore it couldn't be wrong. Of course, these who would argue this, they would then put Jesus over against Moses and also over against Paul. And, you know, there are some people who have this mentality that, well, unless Jesus said it, it doesn't hold any real authority. If Paul said it, we can dismiss that. If Moses said it, that's irrelevant. We can get rid of that. But we believe that anything Paul or Moses said had as much authority as anything Jesus said, because they're all speaking by inspiration. The words of Jesus, even though we, most of us have Bibles that are, you know, red letter Bibles, the words of Jesus don't carry any more weight than the words of Paul or Peter or Jude or James or Moses or David or Isaiah. It's all equally the authoritative word of God. So, you know, to come with that kind of a suggestion that because Jesus never condemned homosexuality, it must not be wrong, it shows a faulty view of the authority of Scripture. But it is true. Jesus never addressed it directly, for there was no need to address it among the Jews to whom he ministered. The Jews, of course, were under the law. They knew perfectly well that that was forbidden by God, and homosexuality was not practiced among the Jews. But Jesus indirectly addressed it when he affirmed the perpetually binding nature of the law. Remember what Jesus said about the law? He said, not one jot or tittle will pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away. One jot or tittle will not pass. So Jesus affirms that the law is perpetually binding. And of course, Leviticus, passages that we looked at, 18:22 and 20:13, those are portions of the law that Jesus saw as binding. Fourthly, and there are so many arguments, we're obviously not going to go on endlessly with this, but finally, and this is one that you will hear, the biblical writers were ignorant of certain scientific facts, therefore their views on homosexuality, as well as other things, cannot be taken seriously today. You know, it's funny the way the argument goes. You know, they initially start off arguing that the Bible doesn't speak against it. And evidently, knowing those arguments are weak, they finally come to the point of having to acknowledge that the Bible does speak against it, but then they retreat into, well, the biblical writers were ignorant. They didn't know what they were talking about. They were not aware of certain scientific facts that we're aware of today, and that's how, in the end, they try to dismiss what the Scriptures say. But again, one would have to deny the divine inspiration of Scripture to draw that kind of a conclusion. And at the end of the day, that's exactly what the gay apologist does. So, why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because the wickedness was great in his sight. And one of the primary manifestations of that wickedness was a militant form of homosexuality. Now, one other thing, practically, since this is a reality that we're faced with today, how do we address this subject? How do we address people on this matter? How do we reach out to or minister to people who are caught up in that lifestyle? Or how do we give a response when questioned about this particular issue? Well, I think we should remember that we should always start with the Bible. People believe the Bible more than they say they do. And the fact that the gay theologians and apologists have tried to deny that the Scriptures condemn homosexuality, it shows that to some degree they give some weight to what the Bible says. So in our approach, we need to just keep bringing everything back to the Scriptures. This is what the Scriptures say. And remember, the Word of God is living and powerful. And sometimes it can just simply be a quotation of the Scripture in the proper attitude, of course, that, you know, can really pierce a person's heart. Or God will use that to weigh on them and to break down their resistance through the power of His Word. So we start with the Bible. As we're thinking about the subject, many questions come up. One of the primary questions today is, are people born homosexual? And that, of course, is part of the gay mythology. You know, this is the way I was created, sort of a thing. This is the way I was born. I can't do anything about this any more than I can do anything about the color of my skin or the color of my eyes or that kind of a thing. Are people born homosexual? There is certainly no indication in Scripture. No indication in Scripture that is the case. As a matter of fact, the overall picture given us in Scripture would necessitate an emphatic no to that question. This is a relatively new idea, as you will, many of you will know. It's part of the mythology, as I said. So the Bible doesn't in any way give any hint that that would be the case, nor is there any scientific evidence to support the claim. Now, the gay propagandists are so good that you go out into our culture today and most people have already been convinced that homosexuality isn't a matter of choice. People are born that way. And it's astounding that they're able to do that with not one shred of evidence for it. There's been research and there's been attempts to, say that this is a scientific fact, but all the science to this day has turned up nothing in any way, shape, or form conclusive to prove that. So the born gay idea is part of the mythology that undergirds the militant homosexual agenda. Now, think about it this way. If God created people homosexual, then homosexuality would necessarily be a good thing. But the Scriptures are clear that it is not a good thing, but an abominable thing. So if God created people homosexual, then he created them to sin. Yet we know that God did not create man to sin, but God said to man, "Be holy as I am holy." Here's another question. Can a homosexual change? And the answer to that question is absolutely, through the power of Jesus Christ. Absolutely, through the power of Jesus Christ. Many, hundreds and thousands of people who have lived in that lifestyle, sometimes for 10, 20, 30 years, have met Christ and been set free from that bondage. So through Christ, yes, a person engaged in the homosexual lifestyle can change. Apart from Christ, not necessarily. Because you see, there are certain conditions where a person can become so bound to sin, they are so in the grip of sin that they no longer have the ability to exercise their willpower against sin. They are truly the slave of sin. And apart from the power of Christ, the power of sin cannot be broken. That grip of sin cannot be broken over their lives. And so, of course, you see many homosexuals struggling and coming to the conclusion, I can't be any different. I can't change. I can't do this. And in one sense, they're right. They can't. Because sin has such a control on their lives, there's no way they can free themselves from it. But Jesus Christ, as Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus will set you free. Jesus will set a person free. And when he does, it doesn't mean that they will not struggle with thoughts or feelings or temptations peculiar to that sin. Anyone who's lived a life of, serious bondage to sin, you know that even though you've become saved, you still have, struggles to some extent that are related back to that particular sin that you might have been involved in. There's peculiar temptations and things of that nature. And so this will be sometimes the experience of those who come out of that lifestyle. But again, yes, many can, many have, through the power of Christ. A person who turns away from a homosexual lifestyle and becomes a Christian should never refer to themselves as homosexual. Because the Bible only uses a term to describe behavior. We need to be careful with this because we adapt kind of the language of the culture. We just pick it up ourselves. And, we talk about people like, oh, well, they're homosexual. That's adapting the world's perspective on it. The better perspective, the biblical perspective, is here's a person who's living a particular lifestyle. It's a behavioral thing. Now, I just want to say this real quickly. People are not born gay, but people oftentimes are conditioned to become gay or to live that lifestyle. And there's some powerful conditioning that takes place. And quite often, more often than anything else, it happens when somebody is abused or molested as a child. And the devil comes in and, you know, tries to convince them that because of that experience, they are homosexual, and they're, you know, oftentimes weak and driven in that direction. Sometimes they're conditioned emotionally with men, maybe because, you know, a guy isn't the macho kind of a guy. And maybe he's been ridiculed or mocked at as being a bit effeminate or something. And there's an emotional conditioning. And then, the enemy comes along. I had a guy tell me a story a few years ago that was absolutely amazing. It was like he just broke down for me what happened in his life that led him to, you know, thinking that he was a homosexual. He always wanted to have a girlfriend, but he could never get one. He was shy, you know, wasn't maybe the Prince Charming kind of a guy, and just, you know, wasn't able to really, you know, talk freely with a girl, and just, you know, it just never worked out. Always wanted to have a girl, and all of the other guys could get one, but he could never get a girl. And he started working at a particular place, and a guy next to him, as he was talking to him one night, telling him, it's kind of his frustrations. You know, he's not a Christian. He's telling him his frustrations about not being able to get a girl. The guy says, well, you're probably gay. That's why you can't get a girl. You know, this isn't a joke. And that thought was lodged in his head. And the devil began to beat him with that. And this person who was a devil just took the opportunity as often as he could to try to promote that idea in his mind. And he finally got to the point where he became convinced that because he couldn't get a girl, because, you know, nothing ever worked out for him that way, you know, it must be that he's a homosexual. And he was being driven into that lifestyle. And thank God, by the grace of God, before he could actually go and engage in that, the Lord grabbed hold of him and pulled him out. So this is all part of the battle that we face in trying to help people and get the gospel to people. But in closing, we should neither maximize nor minimize the sin of homosexuality. We should never give the impression that homosexuality is the unpardonable sin. On the other hand, we should never give the impression that homosexuality is anything less than sin. And thank God that we read in His Word, there in 1 Corinthians, as Paul lays out those various sinful lifestyles, he says this at the end. He says, and such were some of you, adulterers, idolaters, fornicators, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, right on down the line. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Isn't that glorious? Jesus can set the captive free.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called The Sin of Sodom, and the resource number is B0032. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.